The footies on Triple M.
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Come on,
this is the Sunday Rub.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Ah, yes, for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy on this Sunday afternoon. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there listening, especially to my mum, Kathy. We say happy Mother's Day, but it's a beautiful afternoon here at the MCG. And what a game we have coming up later this afternoon. Melbourne taking on St Kilda, a top four clash. We can't wait for that one. We'll deep dive into it a little bit later in the hour. But as I look around the room, we're missing our leader, really, Nathan Brown, the host at the moment. He's coming from the Sunday Footy Show. He'll be here shortly, but the big three here in the back row, Wayne Carey, Jay Clark, Ross Lyon. Good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon, Joey.
Hello, Joey. How are you, mate?
G'day, Joey. Yeah, good to be here. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there.
Go on, Duck. Duck. It's your busiest morning of the year.
Here we go.
You look exhausted, though.
I'm actually not going to go with it. I will say, though, bloody petrol prices.
you've driven all around Melbourne?
Which I didn't realise how much had gone up until this.
He topped up the ATAG.
I'm glad Peter Alexander had a special on too.
He buys three for the price of one.
What did we go with on the Mother's Day present front, Joey?
I've got happy Mother's Day to Erin as well, my wife. I've given her a night away. That's all it is these days. A night away for her is as good as a holiday.
From you?
Yeah,
a night away?
Kids, yeah, she can stay.
One night.
We might extend it to two. But
where? Like Crown?
Yeah,
Crown?
Some. We haven't worked. She's going to work
Jackalope?
Out. I don't know if I can do
hang on, have you bought the voucher yet or not?
No. Why'd you been married for a few years? You let them choose.
Joey,
it's just easier.
Joey, little tip. New tip. The Chadston Hotel next to the Chadston Shopping Centre. Stay there. You get some vouchers to do some shopping and the spa and all of that out there.
Should have spoken to you last week.
There'd be a Louis Vuitton or something out there for Erin.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly.
So you've given Erin a card.
Yes.
And just said,
we already discussed it. She'll get a night away at some stage. Okay. Got to make it work around the footy season too.
Okay.
Pretty busy weekends, but we'll make it work. So happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. What about you? You're always a romantic at heart.
No, we did the photo frame. So, you know, got all the photos printed and put the photos in the, in
that's
the frame.
You should be doing that anyway.
What'd you do? One of your photos from the holidays? Did you get any of those framed?
Yeah, I think I did.
And more importantly, how Photoshopped were
they? I've got some.
Duck's a little bit. I sense a little bit of jealousy with Duck. Well, a bit envious of the rig of yours.
Funny you should say that, Joey, because the Instagram account after Brownie Spray, which was very funny, and he thrives in that awkwardness, so he did a great job of that, sort of potting me for using my kids as props with the new rig at Noosa Beach on the Instagram account. But there was a fair bit of Instagram activity that afternoon, Joey.
Well, I saw a comment about the width of the shoulders.
Broadening.
Well, yours is pretty big up. You know, Ducks had those shoulders. We saw that on SAS. He just sort of couldn't. I think maybe there was something about the width and the rock and boulders maybe had him covered. Not so much around the little waist.
If you were taller than knee-high to a grasshopper, then probably would have a good rig.
Well, they sort of said, Joey, that the common theme was that, the Kings always had probably the best rig in the box and has done for a long time. But I saw a couple of things. I didn't read too much into
it. You're taking the mantle.
Well, the baton has been passed, apparently.
We'll pick this back up when Nathan Brown gets in the box because we've got to get down to the boundary line because we have more important issues to talk about because Robbo has Melbourne assistant coach Adam Uzo with him. Robbo, take it away.
Speaking about passing the baton, last week took full control on the green stuff. How did you handle Simon Goodwin being on the couch, just pumping instruction down the line?
Yeah, it was a tough one. Obviously he would have been struggling at home, but he was terrific. He was on a call for the whole game to Richo, so he was constantly connected. He gave us full reins and let myself and the other assistant coaches run the day, which was nice.
Adam, do you think you need some honesty here, mate? You put him on mute for a while and just play the keys to Ferrari?
Yeah, well, he doesn't know that, but I did hear him once for the game. It would have been tough for him. But the structure of the day felt pretty similar because he coaches down the bench. So a lot of the decisions that we make upstairs are collaborative and that's what we do every day. So yeah, that part of it was pretty similar.
You got Goody back, but you get five big names, top names back as well. Like the Scribes are saying, you haven't gone ballistic yet. I know it's all about timing and getting to the finals. What are you looking forward to today in improving against St Kilda?
Yeah, well, we think we've played some strong footy against some good footy clubs or footy teams leading into obviously this game. But today is a top four battle, so their strengths are exactly what we think we are. So it's going to be like a finals like game today. So we're looking forward to not only a challenger coming at us, but more to the point, we want to play our brand of footy and really get back to playing the style that we like to play. So we've won different ways in the last few weeks, but we want to win our way.
Adam, do you get just a follow-up on that question, do you get a sense from the guys like Petrarca and May and these guys that they know they're coming up against quality opposition? Do you get a sense that, you know, they're really on? And that's not to say they're not in other weeks, but they're up and about this week?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Maisie is up against one of the best forwards in the comp at the moment. So, whether we're coming up individually against really good players, but this week it's actually a team that's top four in a lot of the stats that are really important in what we feel is important to play good finals footy. So, as I said before, this will be like a finals type game. We can't wait for it.
Geez, the depth at Melbourne is so impressive. I mean, you think that Dunstan's not in this team, Wiedemann on the emergency, Bedford, even he was impressive last week, Adam. I mean, the depth is just extraordinary. But what do you think about the theory that, and this was canvassed a bit last week, that you drag Stephen May out of your back half and that's the way you can undo Melbourne? Is that something you talked about this week? Because Hawthorn seemingly had some success trying to do that.
Yeah, well, some teams have tried to take him up high. Other teams have just played an opponent on him deep. So, we've dealt with both of those options or those scenarios throughout the season. So we'll just play it as we see it. But we expect him to obviously go and play on King today and hopefully take out one of the best forwards in a comp. So that should be a terrific battle.
So on the Saints, they're number one time in half. Really high forward pressure team, and they actually tee six forward. So some teams send that high forward up, and Melbourne just put the bib on, really, their backs, and they free up. So you're really preparing for them to be having teasing six forwards. But I think I heard Bailey Fritsch talk about you've recognised that in your preview, and you'll look to alleviate that pressure by taking the uncontested mark. Is it just realistic? Is that accurate? Because you take the mark, takes the pressure away.
Yeah, well, they are. Their score sources in their front half are really high, so we just want to limit the damage in our back half. So we don't normally take high risks from our back end, and we don't feel like we need to. So so it's going to be a twofold. Not obviously giving them that high score source, but that's the way we like to play from our back end, and hopefully just control the footy out of there until we can get into our front half. So, but as you said, they're number one in that stat for a reason, and they're very good at it.
We're chatting to Melbourne assistant coach Adam Uze. Adam, you get Luke Jackson back into the side this afternoon. The combination of him and Gawn, we all know how good it is. I don't know how much of it is pre-planned during the week in regards to their split and what it looks like forward ruck. How much of it is sort of game dependent, or how much do you leave it up to the two out on the ground to just make their own sort of moves and flip it around a bit?
Yeah, well, the only part that's really structured is the start of each quarter. So up until their first rotation, that's structured. And then once the game starts going, we leave it up to those two out there. So Gorney's really, really strong at getting a feel for if Jacko's looking okay in the centre bounce. And at the same time, Gorney's strength or his ability to play as a pure forward has been really strong in the last four or five games as well. So, yeah, we leave it after that first rotation, we leave it up to those two. And then if Goody notices anything during the quarter, he'll do some sort of adjustment down on the ground. So, it's obviously an awesome combination to have, and we're blessed to have him.
Adam, just more broadly for a second, big discussion at the moment is the West Coast players going out to a nightclub, now being potentially disciplined. Now the club has already said they're devastated, etc. Do you guys have pub rules or nightclub rules? Are your players allowed to go to a pub or go for a boogie?
Well, I don't think the coaches are, but I think we've left that up to the leadership group. So depending on, obviously, our scenario, like last week it would have been crazy for our players to go out knowing that we had five guys in COVID protocol. So, we think it's just more of a, you're just making those decisions week by week, but we've left it up to the leadership group. They know what the rules are on a six-day break, but if they've got a longer break, just be smart about it.
So, Adam, like the defending champ, everyone analyse you closely. Some other role players, we saw Ed Langdon get tagged. Are you expecting McKenzie to run with him today? And if so, have you educated him on things he can do when he's getting tagged?
Yeah, we've gone through that during the week, and in the end, most wingers play close to each other every week anyway. The only difference with what they did to Langers was they pushed their winger through, and he wasn't a sweeper by himself at stoppage. So I can't see the Saints running as tight with Langers up and down the ground, because most teams want to get their wingers back to help them get the ball out of their back half. So if and McKenzie and I think Jack Billings might be. I can't remember who their other winger is, but McKenzie's been getting down deep in defence and helping them get the ball out of their back half. So if they're worrying about Langers, that's actually not a bad thing for us.
He loves a goal, Ed, so I reckon he might push him.
Snip a goal here or there.
That's the other way we can test them. But, that's another thing we've dealt with, and it's something different that other teams have brought in. But so we've got a bank of information now that if that does happen, that we know what lever to pull.
Yeah, great. Yeah, hey, awesome.
Thanks for your time, Adam. Thanks. We'll let you go, mate. Always appreciate you joining Triple M, and good luck this afternoon.
No worries, guys, anytime.
It's a great point you make, Ross, and it blows my mind a little bit that St Kilda would tag. So they got Oliver Petrarca, right, and they're potentially tagging Ed Langer.
The running man.
Right? So from an opposition strategy, who would you be trying to put the clamps on? Like, you got Petrarca.
Well, Joey
and
would know this. We did tag the inside, but sometimes you can't stop those bulls. But
where would you go?
I used to go to the outside runner. Stop the outside runner.
Langdon.
Yeah. And terrorising.
And the reason why is they probably aren't what we saw with Langdon. And they're not as good at handling the tag. Because they don't win as much contest, it's actually easier to take away their game as it is the inside player. So sometimes you get more effect. Even though, obviously, Langdon's, we know, not as good as Oliver and Petrarca, you can actually significantly limit their influence.
And we used to take great joy out of watching the bloke that's never been tagged before, like Clint Jones go to him or Ryan Crowley. Because the big guy's always gone, then you see the ones that's not expected. They 2 hours of hell for them.
Just a question on Adam Uze. Do we feel it's almost inevitable that he will be a senior coach? Do you know much about that?
Yeah, he's giving a little bit more away as an assistant, so I like to keep him there. You know, I thought he was really expansive, clearly knowledgeable. If you had the opportunity and time, you'd say, look, you want to be a senior coach. Everyone goes, I'm doing sharpening my sword to be a senior. What are you working on? Because these technical aspects are sound. So it's, what else are you working on? Is it the leadership courses? Is it, you know, understanding list management and how to work with? The biggest relationship is the footy operations manager, senior coach, because historically footy operations managers wanted to be the coach.
So the managerial side of it is the biggest area for...
That's what I think. Understand. So if, I imagine he is. He sit in all list management meetings, sit in all medical meetings and understand, because you'll take the game plan and all your technical knowledge, but then they'll go, okay, coach, what do you want to set up? How do you want your meetings? How do you want your match committee?
What about a psychologist degree, Russ?
Well, that's the first thing. If I was at... Yeah, it's psychology of high performance, and that's the number one thing I would do.
Now you can listen to Triple M Footy wherever you are and whenever you want.
Listen to the roar!
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
McDonald's and Ream, hot water, Triple M rocks footy here at the MCG. Melbourne taking on St Kilda. The D's boys are all out there having shots at goal at the moment. We're looking forward to this game. It should be an absolute beauty. Great to speak to Adam Uze before the break, giving us a good insight into Melbourne. They know they're coming up against a strong side today, and we think they're up for the challenge, and they'll be flexing their muscles. But looking forward to that one. As we always do, we look forward to Jay-Z's Big Three.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
The big story was last night, Joey, and you called it absolutely superbly. It's a down-and-out Essendon team who are missing five players. It was extraordinary. Sam Durham pulled out on the way to the game. So Devin Smith, who was meant to be out for 4 weeks because of a knee issue, has to come in. They call on the replacements. And an Essendon team who we've bashed around for the past couple of weeks delivered and came home like a freight train, kicking 8-1 in the last quarter to knock off a Hawthorn team, which had just stagnated a little bit since the start of the season. And it was a typical backs-to-the-wall performance. And can something like this, Ross and Duck and Joey, Can it galvanise a group when no one expects you to win, and can it be the spark that helps turn around your season? Because no one gave the Bombers a chance last night, except maybe you, Joey, had the door open a little bit.
But tipped them. Tipped them.
What?
On the backs of the wall mentality, that, you know, you had nothing to lose, free hit, go out there and play.
So you're saying they haven't handled it?
You obviously put that tip in before you knew all those guys.
Yeah, I did. I put the tip in. Yeah, put the
tip. So pressure of expectation. They're an immature team. They can't handle.
Yeah, they were more direct, Joey.
Yeah, they were. But I agree. I think it was one of those things for me where I felt it was a game where backs to the wall was a free hit. Once they had the five outs, I think it gave them a bit of an out. That if they lost, They had excuses. Well, we had five players pull out with illness. So I think it just almost freed the mind, freed the shackles to say, well, we've got nothing to lose now. There's no pressure anymore. There's no expectation to win this game. And I think they played like it. I felt that they just right from the start, they bought energy. They were a bit more aggressive with how they moved the ball. Their pressure was as good as we've seen for the whole year, which, again, is surprising. You know, why do that now? Why not do it at the start of the year? But they played like a team that had nothing to lose, and that's how they...
In saying all that, Hawthorn controlled most of the game. They got to 24 points up, I think, a couple of times. They were always at...
They fluked a lot.
They were always in front. But for me, it was all about, in the end, yes, they moved the ball quicker and all those things, but in the end, they nailed their opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kept.
And you know who it was? It was all the young guys. I mean, obviously, Peter Wright didn't miss. Six. He kicked six straight. But young Hobbs, Martin, I mean, they just nailed their opportunities. And Hawthorn, on the flip side, had some opportunities they didn't. Gunston missed a few that he would normally kick. So Hawthorn could have nearly put it beyond doubt,
I think,
if they'd kicked more accurately.
It gives them possibly some belief of what their capability is. My concern is that their numbers either end of the ground, defending it and getting it out, are just horrendous.
Yeah, I think to answer your question, Zay, I think it stops the rot. It stops that, you know, getting worse and worse. I think now they get a bit of confidence and some sort of, you know, spirit back amongst the group. I don't necessarily think it's going to springboard or catapult their season to where, you know, they could push for a top eight spot. But I think at least it's just a win. You know, what a win does when you're in.
I've heard all the words and I've listened to the commentary from their coaching staff. If I'm them, the judgment I would be making is your football program that you put together over summer and the breakdown drills you do at training, don't implement the game plan that you want and desire. Because when they say there's confusion and we're not sore, and that's the bottom line. Dennis Pagan implemented a training regime that created a front and square, long kicking game, whatever it was. So West Coast Eagles control the ball. So whatever game style they want, that coaching panel, when you hear there's confusion around stoppages and in the
So it's unclear.
At the end of the day, the football program that's been put together and the training drills implemented haven't... There's no connection from that to game day. It's as simple as that. Everyone wants to complicate it. That's the real issue here. So the coaching panel got to go back and analyse their breakdown drills, their training, and go, why what we've trained for like 4 months over summer... Every day meeting, we're not on the ground. It's not happening. That's the real question here.
So that's the accountability on the coaching panel, because we talk a lot about the players.
100%. And then you've got to go, have they got the talent to implement the plan? But they've got talent to be better than 1-7. And I think they've got some challenges and injury. But when I would say when they're not playing like you want them to play, that's on the coaching staff and the breakdown drills and how they teach and educate. Because Fly McRae's been able to go to Collingwood. That they played a slow, controlled game, and he's brought in a surge, chaos, and implemented. So if they can, because you hear these clubs, we're layering it, even the Dockers layering it. No, I'll tell you what happened. They were 15th and 16th, and they've modified some stuff, and now they got it right. So that's how I see it.
He's good. What about the Hawthorn midfield, boys? Make some sense of this. Tom Mitchell, one of the best ball magnets in the competition, 14 possessions. James Warple, 15.
Yeah,
how does Sam Mitchell make sense of that?
No, because he played Tom Mitchell out. He didn't play him in the centre bounce as much as he usually. He's trying to evolve this team without Tom Mitchell being a key part.
He's trying to ease that reliance.
A lot of the centre bounce last night for Hawthorn, it was Max Lynch in the ruck who's played a handful of games. There was Ward, Warple and Newcomb. There was about 30 games between them combined in a lot of centre bounces. So Sam Mitchell, while still clearly trying to win games of footy, is evolving his group. So Amir is playing more half forward. Tom Mitchell's playing out of the centre square. So that's why his numbers are down.
So it's an education. It's an education.
It's development.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It's brave coaching because he could be playing those guys. And if that's what you're saying, to be able to be more competitive, but that's a long-term play from the coach. Let's have a listen to Ben Rutten, who was thrilled with the performance and the circumstances, and also Sam Mitchell. Asked whether the players were complacent at all coming into a game against an understrength Essendon.
A lot of pride, I think, really. I think it was, the last 24 hours in particular. You know, I reckon there's some really nice stories out of there for the guys that came up and played. Not only them, though, I think the guys, I think we had five late changes, and the guys that pushed to the line, and then, there's sometimes a fair bit of courage in making the call not to play as well. You know, and I think that, especially when you know other guys are kind of dropping around you, sometimes... You know, you feel like the best thing you can do is play, but the guys made really clear, responsible, team first decisions. And then there's also the guys that stepped up and played on late notice and came out and performed. So there's some of the really, really nice stories that there is within this game.
Well, the first part of the game would say that it didn't, that there wasn't any. We were aware that the players that came into the side were going to be hungry, and they played in that way. It wasn't until I think they kicked five goals in 5 minutes, pretty much halfway through the last quarter. So it's probably a bit late at that point for the complacency call. So I don't think it was that. I think we just got outplayed when the game was right on the line.
I've enjoyed Sam Mitchell's coaching and his press conference so far to start the season. Moving on, number two, Duck, you're the perfect man to answer this question. Tom Lynch put on one of the best individual performances of the season because he absolutely handed it to Darcy Moore, All-Australian defender. Right, but Darcy Moore, for mine, always plays a bit loose. So what happened yesterday when Tom Lynch has 18 possessions at halftime, ends up kicking six, and dominates one of the best defenders in the competition? What did you see in that matchup?
He didn't hand Darcy Moore anything. Darcy Moore handed him a great game because Darcy Moore just gave him far too much room. And a quality player like that, I mean, Tom Lynch, when he's clunking the footy, he made some mistakes early in that game, Tom Lynch. He could have had an unbelievable half, fumbled, missed that easy goal from the top, near the top of the square. So, look, Darcy Moore looked off to me. I know they talked about the flu, and I thought, oh, boy, he might have. Mm. By the way, can you believe, Ross, players are missing with the flu now? But anyway, I'd back
look, you. Look, I, back I was you. Terrible with the flu. I did a great one.
I was thinking the same thing, but I'm hearing this year's flu is a strong flu this
year. Of course it is. It's a big, strong flu.
But how would Ross look at you when you said that? No, I was terrible.
I remember Benny Matthews going at the tacker. He sounded terrible. You know, because I was terrible with the flu. I got the man flu. Like, suck it up. And Benny goes, I'll just get it done. I was like, they're mentally, the great player, like, high performers are mentally tough and can carry
it. But I was watching his body language, and this is more I'm talking about now. So, yep. Yes, Lynch played a great first half, but he'll never get it as easy as that. He won't get it as easy as that for the rest of the year, and you're playing on an All-Australian defender. And the reason why I gave him an excuse, because he just looked, his body language was really poor in the first half. You were there. Yeah. He did look really flat. Yeah. Then he came out after half time, he tightened up a little bit, and his second half was a lot better, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that's how they defend. We previewed this game on Classified.
Leg right.
Yeah, what we spoke about, the key forwards kicking lots of goals against Collingwood. Caswell kicked four or five, didn't he? We went back and we just had some vision. And we spoke about McGovern as well, how they play with the leg rope with Tom Lynch.
Yep.
And if you give, he's a high, high talented player and a big man. If you give him all the room and let him launch
3 metres
and his timing, Collingwood defenders rely on perfect pressure up the ground.
Yep.
And their numbers are saying when they apply that pressure, they defend okay. But as soon as the pressure drops off, like, teams are kicking 70 points against them in a half.
Yeah.
So do they need to tweak something? Maybe. Yep. I don't know. That's the way they play. They live by the sword, die by the sword.
I think Craig McRae said, happy with the midfield, happy with the forward. Their defensive stuff is still they're getting right. They come up against Aaron Norton this week, Joey. Mm. So it'd be a big focus point, you think, for Darcy Moore, the defence, because they come up against one of the best centre-half forwards in the competition.
Pretty sure it will be. Quick word on Richmond. Are you seeing something that they can be a threat later in the
game? Yeah, they won me over a little bit, I must admit, yesterday.
But they're not their old DNA, though.
No, they're not. They're not back to that. But I think, and it's because of guys like Maurice Rioli that have come into the team. So we know Daniel's gone down back. Short's come into the middle. So
They've
made some structural changes. But the rundown
and the
pressure and the perceived pressure because of the speed back in that forward line, I thought was really prevalent.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
And Seagull's gone through the protective area.
Yeah. Triple M rocks footy.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M does rock footy here at the MCG. It's the Sunday rub. Still waiting on Nathan Brown. That must mean to me there's a big, big crowd just building outside the MCG. Brownie said he'd be here about 20 minutes ago. Obviously, there's a bit of traffic just around the ground, so we'll get to him shortly. But, Jay-Z, you've still got the third of your big three to get through.
Yeah, well, look, West Coast has been the biggest story of the weekend, and there's at least two Eagles players. Suspicions there might have been more at the nightclub. Jackson Nelson and Josh Rotham are the two who are at the Hippie Club, and what a little place it is, to be honest. I've had many an enjoyable night out there, Joey. So I got some sympathy for the pair. But take us inside the footy club, Ross and Duck. As a captain and coach for footy club, you've got these players who clearly broken a bit of a rule, done the wrong thing at a really difficult time. This club is on its knees, right? How does that conversation go?
Can you explain, so that our listeners know as well, can you explain what rules they actually broke?
Well, I think there was an agreement that with the difficult circumstances that everyone was going to try to avoid these high congested places.
A team rule.
You know what the irony is? Players are going out to nightclubs all the time. All the coaches are going down. So I think if you make it about COVID, I'm not as convinced on it because you got to live.
What's the
young kids.
I think it's the look.
Got sympathy.
I do have.
I think it's the look when you've been in that town. Like if you're going out, you're going to get noticed. The ability to just discipline themselves when your club's part of embarrassing performances week after week. I think the Duck has a perspective. Let's get out. We had a loss, but they were a great team. No, they played 7 prelims. I don't have to. So it's easy to say, well, it's normal. But when you're a club that's dishing up embarrassing performances, and again, I'll use that analogy. Well, he always competed. It was Nelson who hasn't been. Mm-hmm. His footy's going terribly. Who's the other one?
Rotham.
Both their footy's not flying. So how about you try and work on your career and maybe just pull your head in and do some extra work rather than getting around town with your chest out?
Sharpen the focus a little bit. Yes, Joey?
Did you have a point? No, because my view, and we spoke about this yesterday, I think the reason why the coaches and everyone would be disappointed is because I think there would have been 20 players that would have wanted to go to a nightclub. Mm. But they've all done the right thing. And then there's 2 players that have snubbed the nose at the rest of the team. Their teammates said, I know they're the rules, but we're going to do it anyway. I think that's where...
What do you know about AFL footy? What does everyone talk about? It's all about the...
Preparation.
Optics.
I think
it's all about the optics, isn't it? So do you think... You don't need a media manager to tell you this is a terrible look and individually, but if you make a conscious decision, I don't care, that's okay. But the optic is horrendous in that.
Yeah, for me, it gets back to the actual leaders, the players, not so much Simo. Like the coach, we all sometimes can rebel against a coach, but if you have strong leadership within the group, then players, you know, I don't think they step out of line.
Well, this is the one, you know what? Well, it's okay to have a beer. Well, let's get together at McGovern's place. Yeah. Let someone, the Duck would go, everyone around my place, and I'll get the cards out, we'll get some pizzas in. And you know what? When you have a bad loss like that, you should want to be together. That was my thing. Yeah. No problem, but stick together. Don't get out in your own little silo.
Don't fracture.
Get on it. I'd encourage you to get on it.
You used to say that all the time. Stick together. Don't fracture. Yeah. Don't go up into small groups and, you know, have a little...
Get on it together.
Simo might have taken a leaf out of Pago's book. Pago had relationships with every door person around Melbourne. Snowy off the trams used to give him a lot of information.
Hey. Rossi Line trusted him. He was the same. He goes, boys, I've got eyes everywhere. And he did. We tried to sneak to the Barclay on a Sunday. Ross goes, I knew. How do you know? He goes, trust me, I got spies. And it put the wind up us. We're all like, how does Ross got so many contacts?
Let's be honest, Ducky. You've never abided by curfew in your life, so we can't be getting on our too high horse. So West Coast lost by 75 to Brisbane last night, 109 to Richmond, 84 to Port, 63 to Sydney. They've been absolutely belted after the last month. And Matthew Knights, who stood in for Adam Simpson, said it was another disappointing night.
Under no illusions, when we go back to work on Monday, we've got to get better, and it doesn't feel good to lose by those margins. But as I said, I thought the players really locked in tonight. It blew out late, but we just couldn't sustain our methods, sustain the contest and the pressure for long enough in that contest-to-contest work. At the moment, we've got to just piece our days together and just get better every day rather than worrying too much about the element of the last 4 weeks.
To Fremantle the other night against North Melbourne, there's some real concerns about the North Melbourne, but I want to ask you, Ross, Andrew Brayshaw looks like one of the best midfielders in the competition. Now, this trade has gone under the radar for a long period of time, right, because somehow you got pick 2 for Lockie Weller, right? And with that, you got Andrew Brayshaw as a future captain, a potential Brownlow medalist. Can you just quickly take us back to how you got pick 2 over Gold Coast? Because I got a gut feel you would have been absolutely giggling at the time.
We were very pleased. So Lockie Weller, beautiful kid. But when you see him, he's got tools, right? So he's got speed, power, beautiful kick. But he doesn't get as much as the onion as you'd like him to. So, but he was contracted and they went all in on him. It was something 4 or 5 years on big money. So great for the kid. So we were like, from there, well, we knew what we we just said, unless it's pick two, you're staying, son. So, but time flies quick in AFL footy, doesn't it? So, Andy Brayshaw, like, to give pick two up for Lockie Well is a big call. So, the clubs, like North now, they should hear this, and you can't get desperate. Like, you're going to get Pittard, and you're going to get the other.
Pollock.
Hall. You can't get desperate. Pick two is invaluable. Now, that 4 or 5 years, whatever it is flown. Brayshaw is a favourite for the Brownlow, and he's a legitimate A-grade player with all the tools and gets the onion a lot. And Lockie Weller is still probably, if you know, list managers go A, B, C, where do you think he is, Lockie Weller?
B grader?
And future
no,
leader.
No, he's not B. He'd be lucky to be a B. Yeah. B. He's a C-grade player.
And future leader, Brayshaw
but
as well.
But a beautiful kid, you know. So clubs nice. Like Gold Coast, imagine now with Rowell and Anderson and... So they took, you can get a bit desperate as a club. So North should listen to this and go, we can't get desperate, we've got to hold our line.
The Cats knocked off GWS last night, Joey. Impressive win considering they didn't have a ruckman really in that team. Reece Stanley went down with the ankle. DeConing rucked a bit. Blitzarves rucked a little bit. There was no captain in Joel Selwood. Chris Scott says in the circumstances, a brilliant win.
Well, the main thing is we just lost all our ruckmen. So we don't have a ruckman on our list. We had three players in the VFL. Gary Rowan was one of them coming back who was unavailable for senior selection. And we lost our captain on the eve of the game when it was unexpected. We were thinking that he would come up. You know, the talent of their guys, the only objective measure for talent that I can come up with is draft position. And they are stacked in there. And their guys, you know, they showed it at times around the ball. Even in a really comprehensive win, the contested ball is relatively even. I think they just shaded us there. But I think, as I said, I think it spoke more to the system that our assistant coaches and development coaches have put in place over a long period of time than anything that necessarily only happened on the night.
Cameron kicked five, had a day out against his old side. But are we going to sleep on the recruiting story of the year? What a turnaround in this man's whole life in Tyson Stengel. Kicked 3 goals, 2. The Cats get him off the scrap heap. Anyone could have had him from the Sandful last year. They picked him up. He's worked into the system. He was very good the week before, Duck, when you were there down at the Cattery against Fremantle. And he is, looks like...
Because of the club that he's gone to. If he doesn't go to a club like... Their development and their leadership at that club, once again, you come in there, you know, you look around and you go, oh, yeah, there's Paddy, there's Joel, you know, there's... I don't know, whoever.
They command respect.
Absolutely.
And they'll pull you in the line.
And the way they go about it, they've done it. Hawthorn did it for a long period of time when they had their really strong
And Chris
leadership.
Scott, yeah. Chris Scott doesn't complicate it.
Yeah.
You come in and you train hard, live by certain values, and away you go. I thought his message was really interesting. Really interesting. Our system versus their system, our coaching panel, and what that club's done for a long period of time. It was a really interesting...
Well,
this is
insinuating that GWS has got by on talent, Joe.
Look what Tim Kelly did when he got straight to Geelong. Just went... Bang.
Flourished.
Yeah, they all do.
Hey, Nathan Brown's made his way into the box. Brownie's a bit of traffic out there. Is there going to be a big crowd here this afternoon, you think?
It's a fair bit of traffic around, Joe. Always good to be here. Just come from the award-winning Sunday Footy Show. We shot the lights out there. I've been listening to you guys very, very good. And look, I think... I know we're going to do Hitch Your Caravan a little bit later, but I've got an early one that I've just got in mind at the moment involving Jay-Z.
Oh, very good. You're going to save it for after the break?
Yep.
Triple M rocks footy.
Starting to rock and roll.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. We're at the MCG. Looking forward to the big one between Melbourne and the Saints. Top four clash. We'll do a real deep dive of that one shortly. But now that Nathan Brown's here and Jay-Z, your little segment, we're going to, do we have an opener for this one? We do. Let's take a listen.
On Triple M Sunday Rub.
What are you for a caravan?
What?
Caravan.
There's lots of room for you on the bandwagon.
We're hitching the caravan.
We certainly are. Give me the little... I mean, the feedback
the
is...
Opener.
Oh, the feedback is that this segment's become so good it needs to come up. It needs to be earlier in the show.
Up the order.
The people want it nice and early. But I'll kick things off.
No, I think Brownie wanted
are you going to kick
ball.
It off, Nate,
well, I'm going to kick it off.
Nate Brown wanted the new ball.
I've seen a transformation in you, Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. It's been a body transformation. I know that we took light in the fact that you took about 14 shots with your top off over your holidays the last couple of weeks and had the kids in every photo. Mm-hmm. But... you were looking good. Mm. So you, 12 months ago, you probably needed to do the work, which you got the feedback, and you've done the hard work, and he is looking good to the point really? Where he hasn't had his top off. Like I thought it was Chad Corns. He hasn't had his top off. That. But so I'm going to hitch my caravan
yes.
to Jay-Z Clark. So I'd imagine at some point there's going to be a changeover. It might be 2 years' time, might be 5 years' time at the Herald Sun. I think I'm hitching long-term that this man becomes the chief at the Herald Sun. So Mike Sheen it was, Mark Robinson. I think the next person to become the chief footy writer at the Herald Sun, I think, is going to be Jay Clark. So I'm hitching my caravan to him long-term.
And if it's all about optics, his shoes, it's a shoe-in, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I hope the axles don't snap on the caravan they brand it. But I appreciate your support. And looking through your Instagram this week, I did find a nice couple of shots of you without any clothes on.
Who do you reckon you have to sort of... just like go around the back of
and, leapfrog.
Yeah, it's at Herald Sun, or just stick the knife in a bit.
I think Robbo's doing an outstanding job as the number one, and Sam Landsberger's reporting on the toxic culture amongst the umpiring fraternity. Well, not the toxic culture in the umpiring fraternity, about some of the abuse and harassment some of the female umpires have commonly copped over the past decade. It was the footy story of the year, so I take my hat off to him. But thank you, Brad.
Ralphie's floating around. I do. John Ralph.
Yeah, Ralphie. I mean, we see him at Fox occasionally. Ralphie, hey, I want to hitch my caravan to...
Oh, you didn't dwell on that. I like it. Your humility's still strong.
Hawthorn's Jai Newcombe to win the Rising Star.
I said this
award.
Live on TV last night.
Did you, Duck? Well, I was watching Fox, so I didn't see your thing on Channel 7 last night.
So you're one of the 10 watching.
He's averaging 20 possessions a game. I've heard a lot of fanfare about, Rochelle's going to win the Rising Star, Nick Dacos, Jason Horne Francis, this and that. What about the hard nut from Hawthorn and the brown and gold?
I said it last night.
I was watching Fox last night.
No, you're a liar. I reckon that you heard
a liar.
It because it went live.
A liar.
It went viral last night after I said it because everyone was going, what about Martin? What about him?
Well, at half time, he was looking like playing.
What about him?
Also, I know Duck is, and you got to love the game, not the odds, Brownie, but I have had a little nibble at John Newcombe at 12 for the Rising Star.
Oh, now you're going to push him.
Shouldn't have called you a liar. But no, I agree.
Well, you've called him a cheek before.
I think. I do think if you were being honest in terms of consistency.
No, you're not honest.
As of right now, I reckon that, you look at Dacos, who has collected a lot of the ball, but I reckon what Newcomb's done in and under, inside and outside, I reckon he would be leading.
I think he's at his peak. I think you're going to have a rising star that's got real growth in him to go on to be a star. Right. And I don't think he's got that quality.
Well, then, could that lead to my caravan?
Martin. Yes.
Because that leads to mine.
Go on.
And I see your John Newcombe. I'm going to hitch my caravan that by the end of the season, Jason Horne Francis will be North Melbourne's best player.
Yeah. Really?
If he's not already.
Give him another 10 games. He
not
will be
exactly going on a limb there, eh?
I thought that wasn't a bad one.
Who's he knocking off the bird?
Jai Simpkins probably his only competition to being the best player at North Melbourne.
Won the best appearance last year, Jai Simpkins.
Yes.
So, well, that's a slap to North, isn't it?
But that's where I looked at it. Who else is competition for the best player at North Melbourne? I think give Horne Francis another. He stood out to me on Friday night as a bloke that had a real crack. I was watching that game thinking, gee whiz, I was starting to be concerned for North. But Horne Francis, I'm like, now give him another 10 or 12 games. I think he'll be their best player. So that leads me to that he'll probably win the Rising Star by the end of the year.
I saw a guy for North Melbourne that if he put the jumper back on, he'd probably still be the best player. Boomer Harvey. That's how well North are going.
Kane Corn said that North Melbourne's list management had been horrendous, horrific. Like, if that's the case, have we got serious doubts about the way this rebuild has been cultivated?
You know what? We said this about Melbourne a few years ago. We said the Saints were done. We've had all clubs have gone through this. North Melbourne haven't bottomed out. They look pretty low at the moment. I get that. But like the old saying, it's never as bad as what it seems and it's never as good as what it seems.
The key is you can't lose them. Like, Horne Francis, South Australian, like, they need to be able to extend him. What when you get drafted, what is it, 2 years?
Two,
automatic?
And he hasn't been extended, has he?
So the talk will start next year in the big, powerful Adelaide clubs. I think that's the worry for North.
And just put it into perspective here, Jay-Z, when you talk about North, and I'd said it last week, the expectation, but also put this into perspective. In every position, from the president right through to stripping back more than 20 players from that list in the last couple of years.
Yeah, right.
But from the president right through to Benamafio, like all of those positions are almost brand new. They've only been in there for a couple of years or a few years. So this club has been
But who made the decisions on Polak, Pittard, and Hall?
And they're all wrong.
And go after them all and then get them and then go, well, now we're slicing 20.
Well,
who did that?
Well, you have to ask Ben Buckley, Glenn Archer and the people all involved at the footy club at that time.
Right.
Had to be there.
Oh, was that? Yeah, okay.
Very good. Who's that? Brownie.
Got Brownie.
Oh, you've hit your caravan to me, Brownie.
Yeah, Ross has it. Ross
has it. And then Duck, you hit your caravan to my caravan.
No, so I'm going to hitch my caravan to me.
Again,
you're pumping his rig up.
Yeah.
I'll say this by September. I'll have a rig off with Jay-Z.
Oh, I like it.
I'm having a shoulder replacement Wednesday next week.
Because you're fading.
Mate, we don't need the excuses. Are you going to have a rig off? Or
a whole replacement.
We don't need excuses.
By September
15th. We saw that.
Just give us the date.
September 15th.
We saw that on that.
Just give us the date.
September 15th, Channel 7. We'll have a rig off.
Right.
And I can assure you that I'll make
Jay-Z. Is it an objective measure? Are we getting the calipers out? Are we getting the measurements?
I'm happy to bring Julie Tatnall. Our dietitian.
Okay, Julie's in.
Duck, too.
Called that one. You're having the shoulder done Wednesday.
Nick Rewald's got an incredible personal trainer, he told me. So we just might refer the card across to give you a fighting chance.
Hey,
how long are you allowed to do weights after a shoulder, Rico?
So you strap
it
up.
Be in there.
It's a replacement.
Sorry, we need a replacement.
So I'll have graphite, some sort of graphite in there and everything else. And most people, it's probably a good year.
But you, within a month.
Probably 12 weeks.
I think I'll do it so long as there's a drug test because I don't know whether that's getting any assistance. But you know what? I've got two words for you, Duck. You've peaked.
Yeah.
Well,
I've got two words for
you're
you.
You're yesterday's.
We're doing the blood. Hey, we'll do the blood next week.
Joey.
Blood's next week.
I've got two words for you. Muscle memory. And mine have a lot of memory.
He wants to do a drug
mine's
test.
Mine's even got a clout.
Drug test.
Ross, I think we've all hitched to the Fremantle Dockers, but I'm hitching the top four finish for the Dockers.
Very good. Yep. Expand.
Do I need to? They're 6-1.
They're
on top of the ladder, 6-1.
No.
But if you want me to get specific, 7. Alex Pearce, All-Australian key defender.
I'm going to come back to you.
Has that been hitched to Alex Pearce?
No.
No.
There you go. Specifically Alex Pearce, All-Australian key defender, their most important defender.
I haven't heard his name being mentioned. I just want to ask about the
run home. No one spoke about him for All-Australian.
No
one.
Flying. This is how they come home. So round 18, they've got Sydney, Richmond, Melbourne, Bulldogs, Eagles win, and then Giants.
There's only one to be scared of in there. Melbourne, reel it again.
They got St Kilda.
They get them.
At Marvel. Sydney.
They get them.
Balloons popped. Richmond at Marvel.
They get them.
Melbourne.
Tough.
Bulldogs.
Get them.
Eagles. GWS at Manuka.
Oh, smack them.
Okay.
That's all they got left.
Sounds like top two.
That's all they got left.
You're underselling them.
Well, top four. That's all they got left.
That's their last six. Or seven.
Right. Oh, there we go.
Well, write it down.
Keep now. September 15th. Put that date in your diary. That is when we're going to have a rig off between the Duck and Jay-Z Clark. Looking forward to that.
Got one arm, Joe.
He's confident.
I'll give him a head start.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.